Good afternoon, everybody. It's good to see everybody again. I come to certain services, and it's interesting how people choose where they sit. Almost everybody back this time over here. Well, that's fine. Welcome back to worship. It's good to have you with us. I had a couple people that were asking me, because there has been some confusion, and boy, the calendar hasn't helped us at all. Regarding communion, yes, today, even though it is only the first Saturday, because of the way the calendar fell, what we've been trying to do this summer, and we'll just try to set this out for everybody, is that we commune on Sunday, the first and third Sundays of each month. Then on those weeks, when we don't have communion on Sunday, we have them on Saturday. Tomorrow is the second Sunday. So even though today is still the first Saturday, that's kind of how we have to do it. It's always goofy in our altar guild. It's just as confused as everybody else is when that the first of the month just happens to fall on a Sunday. But for the remaining months of August and September, we go back to second and fourth. But just follow the calendar. We have copies of the calendar. And if you look, it's the calendar for both July and August. July on one side, August on the other. We thought we'd try that over the summer just because of the way things kind of fall here, taking a little bit of a break from some things because we usually prepare one every month. You will just, if you follow it, it is correct in there. Communion tonight and then again in 2 weeks. So want to thank everybody that was a part of our 4th of July festivities, even though, we were getting drenched while we were trying to get things set up. The afternoon and evening turned out great. All of you that came, it was really special. Those are the kinds of things that reach in and are found out from our members, the kinds of things that they like, there will be more of those types of things in the months to come. So I have a little note here. And it says, were you in the nursery in the last couple of weeks for any reason and lost your keys? It's hard to believe that somebody would go that long without noticing that they had keys, but the office has your keys if that was you doing that. So, and then finally, just a reminder that for the rest of the summer, our Bible studies continue. Sunday school and Bible class at 9 o'clock. Bible class here in the sanctuary, Sunday school back in what used to be the music room, back behind the nursery. So we hope that you can join us for that. Please let us know that you were here. Sign those Faith Fellowship cards that are in the racks in front of you today. So last thing is just, we're going to start putting it out now. You may have seen a little note on the door as you're going out that 2 weeks from this weekend, we're going to be celebrating Christmas in July. We'll just let everybody know that now, and we're just going to see. Obviously, that means we're going to be starting instead of with a hymn sing, with a carol sing. So we'll have a little fun with that a number of different summers. So we're also going to be doing, by the way, Easter in August. That's a little more than a month away. So our order of worship for this afternoon is based on divine service, setting one in our hymnals. We begin by calling to mind our baptisms. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father together. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with the salutation and collect of the day. The Lord be with you. Let's pray this prayer together. O God, your almighty power is made known chiefly in showing mercy. Grant us the fullness of your grace, that we may be called to repentance and made partakers of your heavenly treasures, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Redeemed, restored, and ready to serve our Lord, let's now greet one another in the peace of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand as a sign of resurrection. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. Jesus is rejected in his hometown and sends out the 12 disciples to proclaim repentance, cast out demons, and heal the sick. Jesus went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brothers James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown, and among his relatives, and in his own household. And he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about among the villages teaching, and he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you, and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out, proclaimed that people should repent, and they cast out many demons, and anointed with oil many who were sick, and healed them. This is the gospel of the Lord.
May God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Friends, I'm going to share with you these words. We heard them just a couple of moments ago, shared by one of our guests. Words says three times, "I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." This may seem like a redundant question, but these days, if somebody tells you that something is sufficient, well, in your mind, is sufficient sufficient? The word comes from a Latin verb that means to meet the need. And if you remember the child's tale from Goldilocks about how one thing was too hot, another was too cold, another was too hard, another was too soft, but certain things were just right. And to meet the need means that everything is indeed just right, which means that if something is sufficient, it has met or satisfied a need. And sometimes, and they actually started using this word in a couple versions of Scripture where instead of "my grace is sufficient for you," "my grace is enough for you." And that is indeed a synonym for that word. But, and one would have to say, when something is not sufficient, it is too little to take care of what is needed. That said, sufficient can suggest that it's just barely enough. Here's a usage in a sentence. The paycheck was sufficient for groceries, but didn't leave enough to fill my gas tank. And there are people that's what their life is like. And while the obvious opposite of sufficient would seem to be insufficient,
pondered that maybe another opposite of sufficient is excess. Friends, in our country, with the things we've been blessed with, have we become a people of excess? Ponder this. That there are too many homes that struggle to feed their families that always seem to have the all-new cell phones, all the other electronics, a TV that fills a wall, a lot of things that some of the people, I guess, that may not struggle with food, you won't see that in some of our houses. On the other side, there are businesses that specialize in taking over cars that have been leased. Now, they don't go looking for them. When they're turned in for lease and changed over for a different car, they take them over. What they're finding is that cars that have been leased, they're now getting them with an average of over 13 and a half months left on the lease. Now, a lot of those leases are only about 3 years to begin with, sometimes even less than that, which means, simply put, people are driving their cars for barely a year before they're moving on to something else. A different car almost every single year. Really? But as a country, even as we see excess in some very real ways, we're growing poorer all the time. The denominations that are called mainline Christian denominations have lost over one-third of their memberships as you combine them all just in the last 20 years. It is, and while our own particular church body is declining, the story isn't quite as bad, but you don't see Christian denominations in the United States that are growing by leaps and bounds. Even though there might be some individual churches that are, overall in the United States, it is becoming less and less all the time. And while it is easy for churches to kind of point the finger at members, former members to kind of blame the church, there may be something more going on. And indeed, there is. And this is ultimately what it is. Ultimately, churches fail because we have failed. We place our needs and desires over the Lord. We forget whose church it is. We forget whose people we are. We must be the first ones, my friends, to say. We must be the first ones to believe the words, "My grace is sufficient for you." Now, it might help if we reminded ourselves whose grace this is, what this is all about. Because just remember, this is a Savior who these people, they not only took offense at him, but in another one of the Gospels were informed that they wanted to throw him over a cliff. They'd had enough of him. Well, that's the Savior who's giving us grace. Because we, in our lives of sin, as we walk away from our Savior, sometimes it is almost as though spiritually we are wanting to throw him and his will and his word over that same cliff. And yet Mark provides us a little glimpse that the other Gospels do not. That, okay, he couldn't do any mighty works there. However, he did heal a few people there. It brushes by that like it was no big deal. I got a pretty good idea that most likely the people that he healed were healed of something that they would have never been healed from in any other way by any other person. You know, when you start seeing just the quantity, the number of times that Jesus is performing healings, you almost become numb to it. You almost forget what an amazing miracle each one of those was. And the amazing, incredible miracle, it was inside of the heart of almost every person that he did it to. Because even though some of the techniques that they had we might have found wanting compared to today, there were some things that they were able to do medically, and yet still, in the midst of the things that they couldn't do, Jesus had an answer, even amongst those people that wanted nothing from him except to be that, the carpenter's son. I know the carpenter isn't there anymore, but his son, his brothers are there, his sisters are there, his mother's there. Why can't you just be like one of them? Well, this is why. These words that St. Paul, in one of his final letters to the young pastor Timothy, gave these words: I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, somebody who says just very, 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 very rugged, nasty things thrown at God to make it clear, I want nothing to do with you. A persecutor, one who takes that out on people that do believe in Jesus and will stop at nothing. Just remember, Paul was among the first people that we have in recorded history that was making no distinction as he went and got orders from Jerusalem when he was on his way to Damascus to have Christians thrown in jail. He made no distinction of men or women. If you were a Christian, it didn't matter. He was going to throw one in jail along with the other. And finally, an insolent opponent. One that was not going to have his mind changed. But I received mercy, he said, because I'd acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Friends, there isn't a person sitting here that can't make the same claim. Regardless of where our lives have been, the grace of our Lord has overflowed in each one of you with the faith and love that are in Jesus Christ. Which means, my friends, God's grace for you is truly... Okay, we've been redundant a couple times. Why not throw this one? God's grace for us is truly, it's grace. Just in case we need to be reminded what that really is, what that really does. Grace understands and yet doesn't care that you have done nothing to earn it, nothing to deserve it, nothing where you should be allowed to keep it. Nothing even that says you should be allowed to see it working in the lives of other people. Bluntly, we should be hauled out of God's kingdom, separated from his love and his mercy and his grace forever because of our sins. But that's what grace does. The grace of God that gives us sufficient quantities. And remember how grace, in some ways, the gifts of grace that we receive from God do not come to us as just, shall we say, sufficient in the way that we see sufficient. When we're talking about the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation, God gives that to each of you in unlimited quantities. He showers his grace from above. There is never a shortage of it. It's all for you. But having said that, when there are times when our faith is going to be tested, refined, proven in our own lives that yes, indeed, we're going to let God do what God does. We're going to let God's will be the will that guides our will. We're going to let the difficult things in life be those things in which God somehow, some way, through some means that we may never understand, keep bringing us closer to him. And so, yes, sometimes God's grace is going to seem limited. Not because it is, but because we always want more. We don't understand. Is God's grace sufficient for us? Yes. But sometimes we need to be reminded just how sufficient that really is on the one side and on the other. It also means that God's grace for us is truly that which he gives to those who hate him. Grace is something that he's poured out. Jesus Christ gave up his life for everybody. Even those that ultimately do not and will not believe in him. But ponder this. God knows those who belong to him. If he has been willing to do that, even for those who will ultimately reject him, what do you suppose he's going to do for those who do not reject him? For those who draw themselves nearer to him all the time? Well, for Jesus, that was a true crosswalk. He had to pay the ultimate price on the cross for us. And now, in life, God's grace being sufficient for us means we must take up our crosses and follow him. It could very well mean in life that much more than wondering if we're going to have a new car in our driveway every single year as though we really needed it. Still, God is going to give us more than we could have ever imagined. No matter where our situation in life is, physically, mentally, spiritually, in terms of how things are going in our vocations, how things are going in our families, how things are going with us and our community, how things are going with us and our spiritual life, God always has more. He guides both our worship and our lives. My friends, perhaps God is able to show to us what it means that my grace is sufficient for you. But if we must indeed see how the power is made perfect in weakness, okay, here we go. Not only do we tolerate it, not only do we accept it, not only do we understand that God is working more in us than we could ever know, we're going to boast about it. We're going to boast about our weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest firmly on us. And so bring it on for the sake of Christ. Bring on the weaknesses. Bring on the insults. Bring on the hardships. Bring on the persecutions. Bring on the calamities. Bring on the strife. Bring on the moments when you can wonder, Lord, haven't I been given enough? Yes. At one point, Jesus had to walk away from the people of his own town in the strength of his love and his mercy. But by walking away, he's able to walk towards each one of us. Friends, we give thanks to God who gave us his Savior as a reminder that his grace is indeed sufficient for us. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith to the words of the Nicene Creed. It is up on the screen or always on the inside back cover of the hymnal. Please stand as we confess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We receive our offerings. Lord of all power and grace, whose eyes watch over the righteous, whose ears listen to their cries, hear the prayers of your people as we come before you in gratitude and praise for all your mercies. You have opened your hand and satisfied the desire and needs of all your creation, and you have made your grace sufficient for us. Help us always to realize this, that as we live forth our lives, we may live in the glory, the love, and the thanksgiving that your grace comes out to us in abundance and in great sufficiency. Lord, in your mercy, give us the light and leading of your Holy Spirit so that our lives may produce the fruits of righteousness. As you add to our faith a life of goodness, knowledge of your truth, self-control in our lives, firmness in our faith, piety of mind, purity of conduct, affection for all Christians, and love for all people, make mercy, peace, and spiritual knowledge that which fills our lives, in our homes, in our families, and in our church. Let us pray to the Lord. We pray for the nations of the earth. We ask that you put down terror and tyranny everywhere, and that you raise up leaders as they acknowledge you in your will, also look to you, realizing that in you we may have peace. Bless our own land, especially during this time as people are traveling. May people everywhere pursue all that is good, put aside all that is evil, remind ourselves of the glories of the freedoms that you have made possible for us. In the midst of those that protect and defend our freedoms on a daily basis, those that serve in the military, our first responders, our police and firefighters, and for all those people who must live their lives dedicated to service for both you and for our country. Let us pray to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, the cry of the suffering. Help them in body and spirit and save them for your mercy's sake. A special prayer on behalf of Ron Lipsansky, and now on behalf of someone in our own lives that we lift up before you now in a moment of silence. Guide and keep these people as you bring us always closer to you and to your grace. Let us pray to the Lord. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only Son that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet, in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name the prayer that he taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The words of our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Closing prayer is on the top of page 8. Please stand as we pray this prayer together. Almighty God, your grace is sufficient for us. When we are weak and suffering, point us back to you, our source of strength and comfort, that we rejoice in your power, mercy, and grace, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.